All right, well, I want to ask you if you would please turn in your notes to Overcoming Evil with Good. And we are going to test your ability to work with both your notebook and a Bible at the same time at this point in the week. Because at the same time that you're turning to Overcoming Evil with Good, I want to ask you to open up your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and Overcoming Evil with Good. What do you do when someone is unfair to you? And what should our counselees do when somebody is unfair to them? Like when you walk into the house and you're ready to communicate biblically and your wife says, well, it's about time you got home. Or when you're trying to work on your marriage and your husband criticizes you publicly. Or when you're trying to work at being God's kind of parent, but your kids, they know exactly what it takes to set you off, and they keep pushing those buttons over and over and over. Or when you work hard on a project, and your boss criticizes you privately, but then he takes credit for your work publicly. You know the kind of situations I'm talking about? I mean, what do you do when someone is evil to you? This world, it doesn't help us a lot there, does it? Just think about one of the best television shows ever made, The Andy Griffith Show, right? You agree with that. Now, if Pastor Byers was here, he would say that I'm not going far enough. He would claim that it is the best television show ever made. In fact, he would likely tell you you cannot be ACBC certified unless you believe it's the best TV show ever made, because you're obviously not seeing the world clearly and therefore can't be trusted to provide theologically sound counsel. But you remember that episode of the Andy Griffith Show where the ladies of Mayberry, they decide that they're going to run for public office? So the men of the town, they're in the barbershop with Floyd, all the rest of the guys, and they're trying to figure out what in the world they're going to do about these women, these evil women who've done this great evil by wanting to run for public office. So they decide what they're going to do. They're going to cut off all the charge accounts around town. You remember this episode? Next, it shows the pictures of these ladies going to buy various things at the stores, saying, put that on my account, and the owner of the store just shakes his head, that kind of thing. And so now the men have been evil back to the women. So the ladies, they get together, they have their little meeting, and you can pretty much figure out what they're going to do. Even sweet Aunt Bee is there. And they, of course, they decide, well, we're not going to cook anymore. And so all of these guys, they're now running around Mayberry. They're trying to cook their own meals. And then the men go back ridiculing the ladies publicly and shaming them. And that's what the world says. That's what it says. Return evil for evil. Get them back. That's what you do. It's a very common problem, even among believers, huh? I mean, the wife wakes up one morning. She decides she's going to be sweet to her husband, so she cooks him this beautiful breakfast, does all the trimmings, everything just to make a beautiful breakfast for her sweetheart, and the louse sleeps in and gets up at the very last minute, barely gets to his shower, barely gets his clothes on, runs to the kitchen, doesn't even notice the fact that she's made breakfast, and she reaches out to give him a smooch, and he runs right on by. Ooh, he's been evil, right? Been evil. And so all day long, she's got to decide what she's going to do about this evil. All day long, it's, he doesn't love me. He doesn't smooch me. And while she's doing her work, and she's running errands around town, he doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. All day long, she's just so mad. Well, he's had a great day at work. Comes home in the evening. He didn't know anything was wrong. Great day at work, comes up the sidewalk, zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. He puckers up for a big kiss, and she walks right on by. And so now he's got to decide what he's going to do. So he goes over to his overstuffed chair. He starts pouting, muttering to himself. She calls him for dinner. He doesn't come. Calls him for dinner. He doesn't come. Calls him for dinner. Doesn't come. Finally, he sloughs off into the kitchen, looks at the table, and says something like, oh, great, meatloaf again. To which she says, well, if you think you can get something better somewhere else, maybe you just ought to get there. Well, there you go again, getting all mad, just like your mother. And that's the way it is in many houses, right? You were evil to me, so I'm going to be evil back, but a little bit worse. Evil to me, I'm going to be evil back, just a little bit worse, and a little bit worse. I mean, and that's how it is. And about the 20-minute mark, you take a breath and you say, now what was it that we were fighting about? because that is the world's approach to solving problems. That's how the world tells you you're supposed to handle things when someone is evil to you. You get them back. Well, thankfully, the Word of God has a completely different approach, huh? And I will tell you right now, it will work wonders for every last one of us. It'll certainly work wonders for our counselees. Aren't you thankful that the Word of God is sufficient? Praise the Lord for that. And this particular discussion, this is just one of those bread and butter passages of Scripture that most of our counselees, they've never heard before. And it can honestly revolutionize the way that they live. So let's look at the passage that I asked you to turn to. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, we're going to begin in verse 14. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy's hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." And then verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, I would be willing to bet that if you're doing community-based outreach ministry, the vast majority of the people that you're counseling will have never heard those verses before. And that's one of the wonderful things about being a biblical counselor. You get to be the mailman. You get to be the person who delivers the Word of God to people. And you know what? It is really hard to have a fight when you're obeying Romans chapter 12. You know that? It can dramatically change a marriage. It can dramatically change the tenor of a home. And why would that be? Do me a favor. Look at this passage and rub your finger over the text. Just rub it over the text. Now tell me, does the ink smear? When you were on break, did somebody from faith sneak in and write those verses into your Bible? Is that what happened? Absolutely not. This passage has the power to change because it is the Word of God. And when you counsel God's people to live in that way, and they choose in obedience to actually follow his plan, you can bet that he is going to supernaturally empower their effort to change. Do you believe that? I hope you do. You can't say that about the words of man. Can't say that about the latest psychological fad. But you can certainly say that about the Word of God. When people choose to live in that way, the Holy Spirit is going to give them the power to change that's not available from any other book. That's one of the wonderful things about being a biblical counselor, just delivering the mail to many people who have never heard such things before. Now, I believe in this passage, we can find three principles that will help us to overcome evil. It starts right here. Number one, we need to understand that you will face evil. You will face evil. We all have to recognize that we are going to face evil. And we have to teach our counselees not to be surprised when somebody else is evil to them. Part of the reason for the family scenario that I described, where the husband and wife are going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, they were not prepared when someone was evil to them. They didn't understand what this passage of Scripture is telling us. You will face evil. I mean, that truth is assumed in this passage. It's right there in your face. But you know what? This principle, it's also taught in many other passages of Scripture. Passages like 2 Timothy 3:12, which says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." It's going to come. People are going to be evil to you. Jesus himself said in John 16:33, he said, "In this world you will have tribulation." That is a promise. And some of us, we are surprised when we're treated in an evil way, as if we don't believe God when he tells us that we should expect to face evil. You know, I worked with a counselee once, really sharp guy. He was growing in a lot of ways, but whenever it came to something about his dad was an unbelieving man, admittedly a bad father, and though my counselee was growing in a lot of areas, he often struggled to please God in his relationship with his dad, and he would say things like, "Well, I told him that I didn't want anything to